You are listening to the Mitts and Twigs podcast, the only podcast that you can find Mitts and Twigs. There are a lot of imitators out there. None of them got us both. How are you doing today, Mitts?
I'm doing fine.
Rough start.
What an intro. We're going to keep it because you haven't hit. Oh my God. You humiliated me enough without editing. So we're going to keep that one. Yep. I'm doing well, man. It's been a great week. I'm hoping, you know, some more Flames hockey this week. They play three instead of two. So that's exciting. Finland hockey, for some reason, the NHL is sending teams mid-season. I don't know what it is, So Johnny Gaudreau is going to collect two more L's in Finland. So hope he enjoys that beautiful city of Columbus.
I hope the Columbus fans take that. Take the opportunity to reflect on how horrible they are. Anybody listening to that, this is just a general, I think last week I bagged on Columbus just for being Columbus, this week the awful things that people have been saying, yelling and screaming at his Elvis's Merzlikins wife while at games, trying to touch his one-year-old child, just overall being just the worst, even when they were not being the worst. So calm yourselves down, gang. Your team's terrible. As fans, it seems like you're terrible. Why don't you just go burn some more LeBron jerseys and just leave everybody else alone?
It's got to be the most it's got to be a top 10 toxic fan base. Remember last year, and this is going to go way left field, and you're not prepared for this, but remember the Hockey Hound who racked up.
Oh yes,
thousands of followers, and he was a Columbus Blue Jackets fan, and everybody's talking about Grady. Turns out he's a child sex offender, all this stuff, and then we got some terrible firework jokes this week with on Twitter, like the Johnny Gaudreau slander is wild. It's hot in Columbus, it really is, and he thought the Calgary market was bad. There's some gems over there.
There certainly are. Well, that's enough Columbus talk. They stink. They're bad at hockey and they're bad at being fans. So let's move on. Big week ahead, possibly. Notable. Our friend of the show, Alexander Ovechkin, is three goals away from Gordie Howe's record of most goals scored for a single or with a single team. He's also, I think, 18 away from second all time. So we can expect that to fall just another notch in Ovi's belt, his ever-growing belt, you know, because of the notches. How you feeling, pal? You're pretty excited. You're a big Ovi stan, right?
I am now. I all of a sudden am a big Ovechkin fan now. Actually, I am a big Ovechkin fan. I think he can do it, too. He's got Detroit, Carolina, and Vegas this week. He'll be able to pot three easily against Detroit. But, I still will, bang this drum. If Gary Bettman wasn't so, didn't have such a hard-on for, lockouts and shortening seasons and all this, Ovechkin would have beaten Wayne Gretzky's record easily. Easily. Nah. He still can beat it with all – I know you're not a fan. I know you're not. I don't know about if it's the play or the political viewpoints, which I don't agree with, but I'm saying he's there. He can do it. And it's exciting to watch that this guy has been playing since I was in elementary school and he's still potting 50 a year. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's something.
the Ovechkin hate you have in your heart, you need to solve. Don't let this man do that to you.
No. Hey, I brought it up. I brought it up on the show. It's hockey news. It's notable. I know a lot of people out there enjoy his hockey game. I think there are a lot of people in this world that we can give our adulation and our love to, and he's not one of them. So it's all good. It's all good.
I just want to stay on Ovechkin train for one more second here.
Yeah.
I'm not upset. I'm not mad. I've now seen I've had the great pleasure of seeing Sidney Crosby live now because I went to them this week. who's typically been lights out against the Calgary Flames. I've seen Ovechkin now live, two of the greats when I was a kid. And both games that I watched live, they absolutely stunk. Invisible. Well, where were they? One was a matinee game. Hate matinee games now. And then all of a sudden, I was like, man, this is a late game. Crosby like lights. So I think he like scores, his average is 1.3 points per game against Calgary Flames. I'm so pumped to see him. Nothing. Zero. Zip. Where you at, bro? Boo, come on out, please. I miss you. I just drove 3 hours to see you. Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. Come on, be better. Be better, athletes. Know when I'm in the stands. Give me the show I deserve. Sounds like the thing you say at certain types of clubs.
Lots of those clubs probably in Columbus. Moving on to, I guess, across the board has to be considered unfortunate news that Sean Couturier is now out for 3 to 4 months, finally had the back surgery, had second and third opinions telling him that he didn't need surgery. He was apparently close-ish to getting back on the ice, but had a setback, and it's now the surgery's been done. It's not a debate anymore. Surgery's been done. He's out for at least till February. It's you know, not just as somebody who took a flyer on him in fantasy, but it's got to be a little disappointing because he's, for a lot of reasons, but especially like right now, the Flyers are playing pretty good hockey. Just despite all the horrible things that we've said about them on the podcast, they're having success. And you got to figure that the Couturier would like to be a part of that. And I'm sure a lot of people in Philadelphia and a lot of people in that locker room would love to have him be a part of that as well, because he's been a big part of that team for a while. So it's too bad that he can't join them, take part, be there on the ice. But hopefully this rehab goes without incident. He gets back out there before the end of the year. Yeah,
it's pretty impressive what the Flyers have done. Like, again, I still think they're going to fall back to reality. I said that last pod too. But no Atkinson, no Sean Couturier, JVR is now on an LTIR. Like, it's impressive what they're doing. Carter Hart finally seems to be, you know, getting the play that he needs up like in front of him to be better. Basically stole the game against Florida. So yeah, I'm happy. It sucks for Sean. It really does. This guy is a player that's battled with so many injuries. Maybe just, you know, go the long route this time, get back healthy and play next year.
Yeah. So nothing but great thoughts to get him back out on the ice and producing for my fantasy team, and have a happy and healthy life, of course, as well. I've got a fun little segment, but before we get to that, I want to do a temp check on your Calgary Flames, buddy. How are you feeling as a fan this early into the season? About 9 games in. What's the feeling like?
Yeah, seven games in for Calgary, because for some reason the NHL schedule sucks. Yeah, I feel great. I feel amazing. Right now they've become the thing that I have been complaining about the most with the Edmonton Oilers. They've become a little bit power play merchants. You know, they live on the power play, seem to get a lot of their points. I love Nazem Kadri. Rasmus Anderson seems to take another step. Jacob Markstrom, even though all the slander he gets, stole a game against Pittsburgh and stole a game against Carolina. He's, what is he, 4-1 now? He's playing great hockey. Yeah, I'm pretty happy. And Darryl, we trust, you know, the guy's amazing. So I am higher on the Calgary Flames this year than I was last year. And they're doing well without being very fortunate, or you could even say highly unlike, like lucky on 5-on-5. Like, the first line's been pretty good. They just can't put one in the net 5-on-5 for some reason. But other than that, I'm pretty happy.
Yeah. Well, it's going to feel nice. I got to tell you, as a Blues fan right now, it's not quite panic button time, but it's not good. Here's a fun little stat going into today's game. Today's games, because the Blues didn't play today. The Blues had 3 players with the worst plus minus on the season so far. Now, any of you new hockey fans are probably going to tell me that plus minus doesn't matter. It's not a real stat. It's garbage. Maybe so, but it's still not a good look for Ryan O'Reilly, Jordan Kyrou, and Torrey Krug. Key important players in that team to be leading the league in the worst plus minus currently this far in. Negative 10, 9, and 8, if I remember offhand, which is, I haven't played that many games yet.
What are you giving season starting now? Ryan O'Reilly's played like awful. Dog water, not been good. I just try to pull up his ice time per minute. So I don't have it on me. But what are you going to give the percentage that there's an appetite for St. Louis to want to re-sign him? Which is higher? Maybe let me rephrase the question. What's higher, the appetite for St. Louis to retain him or for Ryan O'Reilly to like stay?
I gotta say, it's probably taken a pretty big dive this month, this week. I think going into the season, it would have been a slam dunk. He's you know, an integral part of the team. He was a key player in bringing the cup to St. Louis. He's an all-around great guy and an excellent player. And he's not old. You know, he still should be basically in his prime. In the final year of the contract, and it's been a rough start so far. You've already got the team investing pretty heavily in Rob Thomas there, and there's some young guns coming up that people are going to have a little bit more of a leash for. It'll be interesting. I hope we don't go full Columbus and just lose our minds. If things continue to trend this way, I think that you're going to start to see the speculation about whether or not that he, you know, gets re-signed or possibly gets moved either at the deadline or before, because Doug Armstrong is not afraid to pull the trigger, not afraid to make a big move. And Ryan O'Reilly could have an absolutely garbage season and still probably be pretty valuable at the trade deadline to anybody that was making a run. Now, I don't want to see that. I would like that to be our playoff run piece. Thank you very much. I don't know. I think the defense is still a lot of talent back there, a lot of money back there. A little suspect, I think, in terms of execution. Binner has not been bad. Well, other than the Montreal game being a little shocking. But he's played...
I think it's safe percentage below 900, though. I think.
Well, Montreal game probably did a lot of that work.
Yeah, probably.
Good for him, bad for us. Grice isn't exactly looking like he's going to challenge for that job or push him in any way, shape, or form. So, yeah, it's a shaky start. You know, anybody that any Blues fans out there that tell you that they're not worried are better liars than I am.
Here's the great news. You could make the argument that, yes, it's slow out of the gate, but it's been slow out of the gate for Minnesota. It's been slow out of the gate for Colorado and St. Louis. I would say those are the three top teams. And you have sitting on top of the Central, Dallas, Winnipeg, Chicago. Mm-hmm. That's going to move a ton. We're early. And it feels like this year's really weird. It feels like Toronto, there's a crazy amount of pressure. Amazing. I don't even know what the final score in the Toronto game is right now, but I'm sure if they lose, the Sheldon Keefe fire is going to be crazy. You have Nashville losing record, fan base not happy. Vancouver ready to burn down the city. Colorado, they're okay. They just won a cup. They're fine. Minnesota was really hot.
I'm going to stop you right there just before you run through all of the content that we have for today, and this becomes a YouTube short.
Okay.
You're making an excellent point, but we need to fill time. You know, we're never going to get all that big sponsorship money
if I was filling time like crazy. I don't know where I'm going.
That smooth segue out of the way, we're going to go to today's game. Today's game is inspired by Tyler's new boy toy, Nazem Kadri. And I'm going to throw some topics, some ideas, some goings on you'd say. The time I touched on just a moment ago. It's a little call game I like to call run the goalie or run away. And just to give you an idea, run the goalie, meaning you're all in, you're buying it, you're going to do what it takes, and this is great. Run away, meaning you're not having it, you want nothing to do with it. So I'm sure, you know, anybody that's seen Nelson Cuddy plays understands the correlation there in terms of how he plays his game. First up is the Maple Leafs situation.
Oh, was I doing your segment without even knowing I was doing your segment?
You're doing the segment. You're running through it. Oh. And I mean, you touched on it here, and I can tell you that the Leafs looks like they're going into overtime tied with Anaheim. Oh. This was a precarious season at best.
Right.
They came off another shocking first round loss last year. They completely revamped their goaltenders situation with mostly reclamation projects. Samsonov, to his credit, has been playing soundly, but Matt Murray is, to no one's surprise, on the shelf. They don't look like they're playing with any great identity. And it's early. It's early, but is it too early to panic in Toronto, Ty?
This one's going to be the one either way I go is going to like age the worse. I'm going to run the goalie. I'm going to run the goalie. I think Samsonov has been great. I really do. I don't think it's been his problem. I think the defense is suspect, probably not what they desire, right? It's just not been good. Nylander and John Tavares have not been great. Austin Matthews, where you at? He just hasn't really exploded yet. But they're going to. Last year, the Leafs were 4-4-1, exact same as they were this year. It's fine. Everybody needs to calm the frick down. It's early. It's early. It's an 82-game season. Yes, points are very important right out of the gate. They are, because if you fall behind, but they still got 4 wins and 1 overtime loss. It is what it is. With that core, I just feel like I'd be stupid to skate away. I just feel like I would. So I'm going to run that goalie. I'm going to Nazem Kadri, Jordan Binnington. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it.
Well, it worked before, so why not do it now? Next up, has Chicago ruined their tank run? Have they already ruined their chance at Bedard by coming out of the gate scorching hot? News came out today. Seth Jones is injured. That's unfortunate. Maybe it helps them because let's be real. Like they're not going to be good this year. They shouldn't. And they don't project to be any better next year. All this early success has got to be a bit of a shit sandwich for the management over there. What do you think?
Let's build some culture here. They're in every single game. Did you watch that Edmonton-Chicago game?
I'm not watching any Chicago games. Get out of here.
Sorry. I was watching the Oilers. Other than the refs trying to make it all about themselves, it was like, I think the whole game was played on the power play. I think Chicago had 10 power plays and Edmonton had like 8. Like, it was insane. I think it's good for Chicago in the sense that they're not just going to like roll over and die. They're not going to go full Buffalo Sabres where they're going to give players left-handed sticks that are right-handed. All that, they're going to like try to compete. I think Luke Richardson's a great coach too. I really do. And I don't think it hurts having Patrick Kane or Jonathan Toews playing well going into this trade deadline. I don't think it does. To be fair, Alex Stalock is not going to be the Alex Stalock he seems to be being right now. He's just not. And Anthony Seau, other than that goal today, has been playing really well. Like, that goal today was out of this world. He basically put Matt Dumba into a retirement home and should never play defense again. It was amazing. But no, I think it raises Kane's price, where you can see what in Buffalo, what Taylor Hall fetched when he was struggling, even though Patrick Kane's a way different player than Taylor Hall, but playing at a high level right from the get-go helps. Jonathan Toews seems to be doing okay. That Lafferty kid or whatever, heart and soul. I know a couple of Chicago fans are like, give that guy an A, a letter or something. He's going to be a huge piece. Nah, whatever. I'm still going to skate away and get the hell out of Chicago, but I'm happy for the team actually, I'm not happy for the team. I don't give a crap. I'm skating away. They're still going to get Bedard. They are. They're going to get Bedard. That market's too big. Gary Bettman's going to somehow play with the lottery balls, weight them a different way because that market's too big for them to suck. It's too important, especially for TV.
Yeah. Well, speaking of important markets, Boston's looking like an unstoppable juggernaut, only getting healthier and stronger by the day. Is this something we can comfortably say is just it's an early season, don't worry about it? Or as noted Boston haters, do we now have to worry about this?
I don't know if I'm a Boston hater. I picked them to win the Atlantic last year. Pretty big, you know, Boston stan. I have a jersey. It's on its way. Allmark. Give it to me, baby. I'm freaking crashing the net with these guys. Crashing it. Taking him out, knee injury, Binner out, crying in the stands, saying he's racist, all this stuff. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm full on binning this, Nazem Kadri Binner in this one. Yeah, this team is unreal. It is so impressive that they don't have their top freaking defenseman in Charlie McAvoy. Lindholm's been great for them. Their goalie tandem's been unreal. Marchand's not playing back-to-backs. They're still winning. David Krejci went to check for a little bit, and he was like, you know what? I still got it. Came back here and is dominating. No, this team is really good. Taylor Hall, no, he's not going to win the Hart, but he's playing really important minutes and really, really like good hockey. The other thing is that's not good for Boston. Here's the one thing that's not good for Boston. Every game David Pastrnak plays, that check and that number is getting higher. Like, how much is he going to demand? Jonathan Huberdeau just got 10-5. David Pastrnak is better than Jonathan Huberdeau. Like, just a pure goal scorer. You know what you need in the NHL? Guys, I can put the puck in the net. You know what David Pastrnak does? Puts the puck in the net.
Yeah.
He's going to be locking down 11 or more easy, especially with the cap going up $4 million. Oh, yeah. Boston should have signed him last year.
Yeah.
No sweetheart deal this time. No sweetheart deal.
You make a good point that he is better than Huberdeau. I mean, a lot of guys are, but it's important to give credit where credit's due. I want to talk about a guy who is playing over 20 minutes a game. At this point, he's halfway to his 2 years, to the points he scored 2 years ago. He's on fire. He's having a complete resurgence. Is Erik Karlsson back?
He's back. The man bun. Oh, he doesn't have a man bun anymore. But the sex pistol. The man. You know what? The NHL is better when Erik Karlsson's good at hockey.
Yeah.
It is just better. Agree to that. And you know what I think he's doing? He's like, hey, I just saw my buddy Brent Burns like get retained salary, and now he's on a contender. I think I want to do that too. I don't think I want to do this rebuilding thing. And he is playing possessed. Like, unreal. Maybe he's healthy for the first time in a long time. But some of those highlights that came out this week and the moves he's making, yeah, it's like vintage Karlsson. And it's good for the NHL. It's good for San Jose. Not really, because they need to keep losing. But it's good for his stock. So, yeah. I think he will be dealt before the deadline.
Wow.
At half retained. Actually, I don't think it'll be half, because how many years does he have left?
He's got a number of years left, I think, right?
But nobody's going to take that contract on full.
No. No. Well, Toronto would, but they can't because they've got all their money tied up with Nylander.
Let me ask you this. What do you think of Erik Karlsson's play? Because I actually am fascinated by that question.
I can't help but wonder what changed. You know, this is a guy that when he went there, it seemed like they had just an amazing defensive group, and it seemed like as soon as he got there, a lot of guys dropped off, himself included, but yet you move Brett Burns out, and now he's having that resurgence. So maybe that's just the drama in me getting excited for the idea that there were some issues there.
You said two alphas don't work. Is that what you're saying?
All I'm going to suggest is that you guys do your own research. You know, the facts are out there.
You heard it here first. We know about the Brent Burns and Erik Karlsson beef. And we want to let you know, subscribe at our whatever, whoever's paying us, subscribe at that, and we'll give you the information.
Yeah.
Patreon, that's what it is. Took me a second. We don't have a Patreon, but we're going to make one just for this beef.
Yeah, subscribe at that. And we'll tell you all about it.
Yeah, it's deep. It's dirty. Mike Hoffman dirty. That was ugly. This is just like two guys didn't like each other. Mike Hoffman was took a little far.
Speaking of dirty and a little far, Edmonton. Is there a goalie controversy there?
Oh my gosh. Well, you saw Skinner against the Blues. You saw that. And I have now watched Skinner play against the Flames twice. And I think it's like he's allowed, I think it's 70. He saved 72 of the 74 shots Calgary shot on him. He is like, Daryl said it best last night. Him and Connor McDavid are the only reason they won that game. There was 40 plus shots fired on him and he didn't even look phased. He looked incredibly poised. He's got a great mustache like mine. He played for the Lethbridge Hurricanes. Yeah, I'm super jacked for him. He seems to be playing really well. And I wonder if it's like another one of those situations like the Tyson Barrie one where they gave all this money to Jack Campbell and weren't patient and like, hey, we'll just see how Skinner does. They could have used that $5 million cap for somebody like, you know, maybe Patrick Kane. You know?
Yeah, but do you think – I think that Edmonton was in that position after not having goaltending for so long that they put themselves in a situation that if they hadn't brought somebody like Jack Campbell in, regardless of where Skinner is in his progress or what ends up being this year –
I'm not saying Jack Campbell sucks.
No, it's been pretty clear that you think Jack Campbell sucks, and that's fine. But if they don't bring in a guy like Jack Campbell, I think Edmonton fans riot. They needed to be appeased, and something's going to make them come and buy those $100 value meals at the arena there. Shout out Daryl Katz for just squeezing the city dry. What a great guy. Just giving owners everywhere a great name.
Great name.
But I mean, it's 2022. So the owner being just a greedy douchebag is somehow like top 10 in terms of good ownership.
Imagine being an owner and like thinking you suffered when all these players are paying you escrow back. Imagine that. Like you really didn't lose at all. No. You lost some ticket sales. Okay. Yeah, that sucks. Making it back right now because every ticket you want to go to again, freaking the Calgary Flames Edmonton Oilers games for press level, that means you're watching on a screen at the Saddle Dome. You're not even watching the ice, you're just watching like a smaller TV than you have in your home at the Saddle Dome. It was like $180. That's ridiculous. Yeah. Ridiculous.
Yeah. Did you buy those?
No, I didn't buy them. I was tempted. Then I realized I had a daughter, and I was like, I should probably provide for her first.
Yeah, I mean that's like, it's halfway to getting her first or second jersey. So, you know.
Yeah, it's true. It'll come.
Yeah.
Retro.
I just want to read off the top five goaltenders right now for goals against average: Ottinger at 1.4, Skinner at 1.59. Mm. Craig, the third leg, Anderson at 1.66.
Oh, man.
If you don't know, now you do. Logan Thompson at 1.69 and Linus Ullmark at 1.7.
Mm.
To me, this is just like, is goaltending a joke to you guys now in the NHL? Like, what is this? Like, this is wild. Again, it's so early in the season, and it honestly gets really tough to come up with content. You know, spoiler for this, but let's pull the curtain back a little bit. This early in the season, with you know, nothing crazy going on, it can be a little bit tough for content. But this is wild to see these guys. Just where are all the big names? Like, where are they?
Jake Ottinger is a pretty big name, I won't lie. Now he's hurt, but. Yeah, I don't know. It's score. Does it not seem like scoring's up again? Like before the year, I was like, there's no way scoring can be up. I even said on the podcast, I think it was the highest it was last year since 1995. That's like the most, like the highest scoring. But now it seems like it's even up higher. I don't know. Maybe goaltenders all suck, you know? Shesterkin's back to reality. Jacob Markstrom is back to reality. No, I don't know. It's early. Again, everybody, like you said, content's hard right now. The only thing, this is the only one word to sum up the year is panic. I feel like there's been like so much panic already, and I don't know why. And it just makes no sense to me. Goalies will get back there, goaltenders, all that stuff. It's fine. It's fine. Everybody needs to relax. Sick of going to Twitter and feeling like houses are going to burn. You know, JT Miller can't even go to a freaking pumpkin patch, man.
That story was made up.
I know, but it's so good. It's so good.
I love how much play that got, because I saw that, not to be all hipster about it, but I saw it pretty early because it was retweeted by like a local media guy being him, like, this is atrocious. People need to calm down. And I read it and I was like, oh, that is pretty crazy. Yeah, fair enough. I don't think I could pick JT Miller out of a lineup if he was wearing his jersey right now. But I guess some people are passionate. But I loved how much it spread around and it got to the entire hockey world before somebody actually asked him about it. It happened in like 24 hours. It was wild. Like,
yeah. Could you imagine being bullied at a pumpkin patch though? Like it's freaking hilarious. It's like, yo, I'm just trying to take my, I didn't even know he had kids. I'm like, this makes it so much better. I loved it.
Yeah. The only bullying that should be going out of pumpkin patch is the bullying that it takes to actually get me there for all the Instagram photos. That's state-sanctioned bullying right there. So that's okay.
I love these fall photos. It's so beautiful.
Just wonderful on the timeline.
Even this is not even hockey, but even like right now, I'm a big Taylor Swift fan. I've jammed to this album like since it's come out every day. I think I've listened to it in its entirety, and
there goes all our cred.
Like, I lost all my street cred just like with that one statement. But could we chill with the Taylor Swift Instagram, you know, captions just a little bit? Like, what is it? It's me, the problem, or something like that. I'm like, okay, get it. We're all listening to the same album. She's amazing, but still, we all just need to calm down with the. With the fall photos and the Taylor Swift lyrics. Just go back to like something original.
Yeah. Are you going to get the Swifties after us? The Swift Army? That's just what we need. Oh my. Well, gang, if any of you are watching us on the YouTube, you'll see these beautiful stashes we are both rocking. Tyler's for, you know, personal choice. Mine for my Ted Lasso costume that I rocked in the office last week. It was money, by the way. But that brings us up to Movember, which is just around the corner. I'll be shaving my bad boy off completely, and we'll be trying to raise some funds for that. So if you see any of that, please, by all means, don't forget to donate. If anybody else you know is taking part, please donate to them. All the money's going to a good cause. This year, because Ty, you know this about a little bit about me, but every year that I do this, I try to challenge myself in different ways outside of just growing a mustache. That's pretty easy these days, if you know what I mean. So this year I'm doing something for my health and I'm getting my first colonoscopy. So that's coming up this week. Next week's episode will be post, not immediately after. I'm not that much of a sadist, but we'll have some content. Let's just say we'll have some content next week on that. I look forward to sharing all that with you guys.
God, we're getting open.
Well, I mean, if you're gonna tell people you're Taylor Swift fan, at least I can do.
Let's bring awareness. I'm all for it. Yeah, get your booty holes checked, everybody.
Yeah, I'm talking about my butthole, and you're talking about the hole inside of you that Taylor fills up when you listen to her albums.
Jesus.
With that, we wrap another fantastic episode of the Midst of Twigs podcast. Thank you all very much for listening. My man, Twigs, thank you for being here with me. Don't forget to find us on the Twitter sphere, at least until Elon kicks us off for not being racist enough.
Hey, we can pay for a verified, verified sticker now or whatever, check mark. Only awesome. $20 a month.
We'll use all of our sponsorship money on that.
Whatever, we'll find new sponsors with our verified account on Twitter that we're paying for. I love it.
On our soon to be verified account on Twitter, Mitts and Twigs. Check us out on YouTube as well. Remember, we're the Mitts with the Twigs. No other kind of Mitts, just with the Twigs.
With the Twigs. So.